Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. It's a joy to see all of you here today during the midweek for our prayer meeting. So today our text is taken from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. And it is on the account of Jacob's wrestle with God. And the title to the sermon is, Who Can Contend with the Lord? So let's look at the scripture, reading from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, Let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, What is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, Please tell me your name. But he replied, Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a God who is gracious, a God who is patient, a God who is pursuing us, and at the same time, Lord, inviting us, Lord, into your presence, into a relationship with you, into a wrestle with you, whatever we have in our hearts, God. And Lord, as we look at this passage today, God, I pray that you open our hearts, Lord, and whatever we are struggling with or whatever we are thinking in our thoughts, whatever we are praying about, Lord, that we will bring it before you today and we will learn, Lord, from Jacob. We will learn, Lord, from scriptures, what you want us to do, Lord. So we pray that you bless this time. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just before we look at the text, just a short summary of Jacob's life. So Jacob was the younger son of Isaac and Rebekah. So when he and Esau, his twin brother, was born, God had declared that it was Jacob who would be the one to continue the covenant relationship with God. However, Isaac, his father, favored his firstborn, Esau, and put hope in that Esau would be the one to fulfill the promise of the covenant. But his mother, Rebekah, on the other hand, favored Jacob. And Jacob is also well known of his deceptions. So when they were young, Jacob manipulated Esau into selling him his birthright. And then when his father was old, with the help of his mother, Jacob actually tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. And then when Esau found out, he was furious and wanted to kill Jacob. So as a consequence, Jacob had to run away from Esau. And there is where he went to Padan Aram, where his uncle Laban was. Then Jacob started working for Laban, and he wanted to marry Rachel, Laban's younger daughter. So Jacob made a deal with Laban to work for 7 years to marry Rachel. But on the night of his wedding, Laban tricked Jacob by switching Rachel with her elder sister, Leah. So Jacob had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And then he continued to work for Laban for 6 more extra years. But within that 6 years, Laban shortchanged Jacob's wages for his labor. So instead of giving Jacob what was rightfully earned by him, Laban actually gave him weaker flocks. So in that 20 years with Laban, the tables were turned around for Jacob, and he had a taste of him of being in the receiving end of deception. So after working for Laban in a total of 20 years, Jacob decided to go back to his father's house in Canaan. And the Lord actually told him to go as well, and the Lord promised to be with Jacob. But although God told Jacob to go, Jacob did not do it well. So he did not tell Laban. And the Bible says that Jacob deceived Laban by not telling him he was running away. So although Jacob has started to listen and trust the Lord, it kind of brings comfort. It brings us comfort to know that just like all of us, Jacob still struggled to do what is right. So when Laban found out that Jacob and his family had gone off without telling him, he pursued Jacob and he caught up with him. But God spoke to Laban in a dream, and Laban did not harm or stop Jacob from leaving. And in the end, they parted ways in peace with one another. So now that Jacob has made peace with his father-in-law, there was one more person that he needed to make peace with. This is his brother Esau. So we see that happening in chapter 32 and 33. And in the same chapter that we just read just now, in verse 3 onwards, as Jacob arrives near to Esau, Jacob sent his messengers to inform Esau of his arrival. And with these messengers, he sent cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. And this is to appease his brother, to find favor. Because the last time Jacob saw his brother was 20 years ago, and Esau was furious of Jacob for stealing his blessing, and Esau wanted Jacob dead. So 20 years ago, Jacob ran away, and now he returns to face and confront his past. And then when the messenger came back with, from Esau, he came back with the news that Esau is coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. So Jacob was in great distress and great fear. So he immediately planned for the worst. He sent groups, more groups of with cattle to appease Esau. And Jacob knew that it was his own foolish actions that brought him to this place. It was because of his deception, because of him stealing his brother's blessing, that brought the strife between his brother and him. And now he might be in great danger if his brother is seeking revenge. So Jacob sends gift to Esau, and in verse 20, it says, in hope to appease Esau. So the Hebrew word appease here is kafar, which literally means to cover over. And in the Old Testament, it's often used to describe atonement, the covering over of sin. So Jacob knew that he sinned against Esau, and he wanted to atone for his sins. So when you look at this, this part of Jacob, he is a very different person from the man that he set off from Canaan 20 years ago. That man was an arrogant trickster that was manipulative, that was cheating people. And now he comes back and he is willing to admit his fault. He is willing to make atonement for the sins that he has committed against his brother. And that is what he wanted to do. And then in chapter 28, a few chapters before this as well, when Jacob left Canaan for Padan Aram, God actually appeared to him in a dream. And God reminded him of the promise that he gave his grandfather and his father, Abraham and Isaac. And he told Jacob again that he will fulfill this covenant with Jacob's descendants. And Jacob woke up from the dream. He knew that God appeared to him. He set up an altar. But his response was still conditional. So we read in verse 20 to 22. He says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you will give me, I will give you a tenth. So Jacob was a person who still was praying with conditions and all. But now you see Jacob's prayer in this verse when he returns. It's a vast difference. He is no longer the self-reliant smarty pants who had all the tricks under his sleeve. He pleaded with God, the God of his father, Abraham and Isaac. So his hope is no longer in what he can do of himself. And it wasn't conditional anymore. He knew the promises of God, and he knew that God was faithful and God will make him prosper and make his descendants like the sand of the sea. So Jacob pleaded with God, and he was counting on the Lord for his promises. And in verse 10, we see Jacob really recognized that he is unworthy of this kindness and faithfulness that God has shown to him. And throughout these 20 years, Jacob had learned that it is God who has blessed him, God who has given him everything he had, despite being deceived by his uncle. And in fact, it is when he was helpless, when he was weak, that the Lord prevailed and rescued him. Because in Canaan, he was the one who was trying to deceive others. He was trying to do things his way. He stole the birthright and blessings of his elder brother. And what he ended up with is nothing. But now that now he see that without him doing anything, God can bless him. And now he has two camps. He has so much. And he knew none of it is because of his intelligence, his own ability. It was God who blessed him. So with the great fear that is driving him now, Jacob prayed to the one who had saved him, to the one that who could save him and his people now. And when you think about it, many times God brings us to the end of ourselves in order to get our attention so that we would see how helpless, how hopeless we are without God. And the fear and distress brought Jacob to the Lord to wrestle with God. And the question we should ask ourselves is, do our fear and our distress bring us to God, or it brings us to something else? So as we look at this passage that we have just read, so after Jacob has planned and strategized his plan, Jacob sent everyone away so he could spend some time alone. And it is in that place that God had met him. So in verse 22, it says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So in verse 24, the man wrestled with Jacob until daybreak, and then the man broke Jacob's hip and Jacob and asked him to let him go because it's daybreak. And when the man touched Jacob's hip and it broke, Jacob would have known that this man is no ordinary man. He knew that it was God who was wrestling with him. So when the man asked Jacob to let him go, Jacob refused. He clung on to the man saying, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Because he knew that was God. He wanted God to bless him. And some commentators have commented that Jacob was actually in risk of dying for not letting go of the man, because no one can see God face to face and live. And the man was saying that it is going to be daybreak. And after daybreak, God's face will be revealed. So the holiness of God will consume Jacob. And that is why God asked Jacob to let him go, because it is daybreak. But Jacob was stubborn. He wanted to hold on to God. He didn't care so much because he recognized that there is actually no other blessing that could take the place of God. Remember, he is now a rich man. He has a big family. He has all that he needed and wanted and all that he was looking for through his deceptions and treacheries. But he finally understood that what he needed all along was God. Nothing can give him what he needs except God. So he was not going to let God go. And in the book of Hosea, it reiterates the account of Jacob. And Hosea tells us this, that when Jacob wrestled with and when he clung on to God, it was out of desperation and he was in tears. Verse 4 says, he wept and begged for God's favor. So even though Jacob had so much physically, he had so much materially, he recognized his need and brokenness. He is in desperation. He is completely helpless. And his weakness brought him to his humility. So he is no longer the Jacob that wrestled with men with great arrogance. Now he is pleading. He is begging. He is asking God because he recognized that he is not in a place to be arrogant or to demand anything. And sometimes we mistaken that God's blessing upon Jacob happened overnight just because of this one wrestle. But what we need to be mindful of is this is not the first time that Jacob has encountered God. And there has been a process where Jacob had slowly learned to see who God is, to listen to his words, to respond to him, and to see how God has blessed him, to see how he needs God, and to learn to trust, to obey God. And it is the same with us. We must understand that our contention with God is a process as well. Usually our wrestle will start with us asking God for something, for a blessing, for a need that we have. And then whether or not God answers and fulfills that need, God will actually reveal what is in our hearts, the sin, the issues. Many of us have hurts from the past. Many of us are still holding on to something. Many of us are unable to forgive. And there may be fears, there may be insecurities that we are running from. And all of us definitely have selfish motives. We have pride issues to address with. And God may be confronting our stubbornness, our laziness, the unhealthy habits that we have developed. And then God invites us to address these issues because God is interested to free us from the bondages of our sins that is keeping us away from him, our sins that is displeasing, dishonoring him, and our sins that is tarnishing his image in us, because he wants what is best for us. He wants to free us. He wants to set us free. And unfortunately, I think all of us, like Jacob initially, we start to wrestle with God by trying to do things our way first. So we are unwilling to obey and trust God because it seems more difficult. It seems foreign. We want to remain in what we have done so long. We want to be comfortable with what we have we are used to already. So we are unwilling to do what God tells us. But then we begin to see that what we are doing is it doesn't work. Our ways that is apart from God, it never works. And so we become miserable. And then when we don't wrestle with God, we are actually struggling with something else. And this struggle with something else, it never ends well because it never gives us relief. In fact, when we wrestle with something else, it always intensifies our burdens and we become more heavy laden. And we struggle until we are willing to go back to God. And God is gracious. He again invites us to work on our issues. And if we refuse to listen, the cycle goes back to us doing our own things and we become miserable again. But if we choose to listen to God, then we begin to wrestle with God with the things in our hearts. We get to ask, we put out all our questions, we ask all our questions, we lay down our doubts. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for help and strength from the Holy Spirit because we are stuck. And God doesn't expect us to suddenly to be the perfect Christian who would obey him 100%, who will make no mistakes. But God will give us the strength. God will give us the grace. God will help us to begin to move towards that change and obedience. And any other people, we will have days that we will be able to listen and trust and obey God, and there will be days that we will fall back to sin and we struggle, we wrestle, we contend with God again and again and again. But what is amazing is each time we continue to wrestle in the presence of God and each time we come to a place of surrender and obedience, we see the grace of God, we see the blessing of God manifest in our lives, in the situation around us, the things that we are praying for. We see God doing his work. And this wrestle, it continues. It continues day by day until we see God face to face. Only then we will be completely renewed into his image. But each time we contend with God, we get to know God better. We get closer to him and we learn how to trust, how to obey him more naturally, more willingly, because we know that this is the best path to be on. And through that surrender, through that obedience, we experience greater grace and greater blessing. And what is said is many times before we reach experiencing God, we stop halfway. We don't cling on to God. We don't persevere. We give up before that blessing comes. And the person who really loses out is ourselves. So I would encourage all of us, no, don't be a lukewarm Christian that is content with the way things are. Don't be a Christian that has given up on the things of God. Don't be a Christian who just wants to come on Sunday or Wednesday and just do the minimal stuff and leave God in certain parts of our lives. We all have things that we need to wrestle with God. God came to Jacob to wrestle with him. God comes to us to wrestle with us also. So choose to wrestle with God until we experience the blessing, until we commit to follow, to obey God, because there is breakthrough when we persevere. And there is no greater blessing than knowing that the Lord, knowing the Lord and being in part of his plan, his call for our lives. And if you have not believed that, that is the greatest blessing, and that is something that you have to wrestle with the Lord, because that is something that God wants us to learn, to know what's the purpose of our life, what he has called us for, and to know his plans are good for us. So then in verse 27, it says, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So in the Bible, a name reveals the character of a person. So Jacob, he was named Jacob because he was born with his hand grasping at Esau's heel. Then when Jacob stole Esau's blessing, Esau said in Genesis chapter 27, verse 36, he said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. So Esau's command actually suggested that Jacob's name has to do with him being a person who supplants, who cheats, who deceives other people. For Jacob to answer this question when the angel of the Lord is asking him to for Jacob to answer his name, Jacob was actually acknowledging his past. He was admitting the sins that he has committed, cheating and deceiving his brother Esau, his father Isaac, and even being dishonest with his uncle Laban. So as Jacob admits his sin and his struggle with God, God changed his name to Israel, which means to struggle, to strive, to fight. And in verse 28, it says, because he has struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And all his life, Jacob has been depending on himself, his own strength, and fighting with people. But in reality, he was actually fighting with God. He was unwilling to submit to the will and power of God. Even though God had chosen him as the one to receive the covenantal relationship, Jacob was treacherous. He took things into his hands and that actually dishonored God. So God had to break him through his hardships before God could give him the covenantal blessings. So when Jacob understood his need for God, from a self-sufficient Jacob, he became a God-dependent Israel. So God had renewed Jacob into this new person, Israel. And Jacob received God's blessing after he admits his weakness, his sin, and his helplessness, his arrogance, his self-reliance that made him strive with people and with God all his life. And he wanted to have things his way. So he fought with man and with God. But when he learned to surrender, to submit, the Lord actually blessed him. And many times we ourselves contend with people, we contend with God, either because we are in fear that people will see our weaknesses and brokenness, or because we are self-centered, because we want things our way, we demand things our way. And it is easier to look at what is happening outside and blame the circumstances. And sometimes the circumstances might be rightly to be blamed, but we all need to look within us. Have we take time to confront our past and reconcile with our brokenness? Are we able to accept our weaknesses and meet our sin? If we do not address what is within, we will continue fighting with God, but for the wrong reasons, and we will struggle to submit to God. And finally, in verse 30, it says, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So Jacob left, recognizing that he had seen God face to face, but God did not kill him. And on top of that, in his wrestle with the Almighty God, God could easily have killed him, yet God was gracious to spare him. However, Jacob left with a limb because of his broken hip. So his encounter with God left him with a permanent weakness to remind him of his wrestle with God, to put him in a place of humility, to remind him that he is spiritually bankrupt if he chooses to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, and to remind him that he has a great need for God. Only God can fulfill that need. And in reality, none of us, no one, can actually wrestle with the Almighty God. He can overpower us just with the snap of a finger. But God is gracious to allow us to wrestle, to come with our questions, our doubts, to struggle, to contend with him. God doesn't expect us to be robots that would obey him 100% all the time. But God does expect us to wrestle with him. God does not want us to be lazy, to just live our lives away from his plan. God created us to be in fellowship with him, to glorify his name. And so he graciously invites us, he pursues us, and he wrestles with us. And our encounters with God should leave us in thanksgiving, in reverence of his holiness and his grace for us. He is the Almighty God who is creator, who is majestic, who is high above all things and all beings. And yet he invites us to him. We are weak, we are helpless without God. We cannot do anything without him. And some of us, after the struggle with God, we have metaphorical limbs in us. Some of us don't. But regardless whether we have or not, all of us are poor in spirit. All of us need to be humble to remember that we need the Lord. And finally, the blessing that God gives was not to give what Jacob wanted. Jacob still had to face Esau. He still didn't know what was going to happen when Esau arrived. But when Jacob encountered God, he received the blessing and he received the assurance that God was with him, that God will continue to be faithful to his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in summary, we shouldn't give up with our contention with the Lord. You know, sometimes we can be stubborn with the wrong things. We can be stubborn with what we don't want to do, or with our laziness. Or when you look at children, you can see how stubborn they are when they want the way, just what they want. But we should be stubborn with the things of God. We should continue to wrestle with God. We should cling on to him with our lives. We should persevere. We should ask. We should seek. We should knock. We should go after God and press in his presence. And we should learn to talk to trusted people that can pray with us and can help us in our struggle. Number two, we should stop relying on ourselves and learn to depend on God. We must acknowledge, we must admit that we all are broken, we are all sinful, and we need God to work in us. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this by ourselves. We can try and try, but it will not work. And we need the Holy Spirit. And finally, we have a God who is graciously inviting us to be part of his blessing. He is faithful, he is good, and he loves each of us. So let us come to him, let us press into him, let us not give up, let us wrestle, let us contend with him. I'm going to go into a time of prayer. As usual, I do want to invite all of you to pray, to learn to pray as a church. I know sometimes it is intimidating, sometimes it is nerve-wracking, but when we pray, we are honoring God, and we want to learn to seek God together as a church, and each of us have a part to play in the church. And I want to encourage you to take courage, to pray whatever God puts in your heart, to bless the church, to bless the people, And so in doing that, we will be blessed as well. So I've listed the things on the screen, and whatever God puts in your heart, whether it's there or not, let's pray together. So let's look to God in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that you are a God who is gracious, who allows us to come into your presence, to wrestle with the things that we are struggling with, God. We thank you, Lord, that in your kindness, you are patient with us. And God, we want to learn not to take advantage. We want to learn not to take granted of your goodness, of your kindness upon us, of your patience, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to persevere, to seek you, to contend, Lord, whatever we are struggling with, Lord. And many times we are unwilling because it seems difficult. It seems like there's no result. So it seems like it's taking a lot of our energy. But Lord, I pray that you open our eyes to see that it is in this place that we will truly learn how to receive your grace, to receive your blessing, God. Help us to come to a place to recognize, like Jacob, that there's no other greater blessing, Lord. Nothing can satisfy us, Lord, except you, God. So, Lord, we come today, we ask, we seek, we knock on the doors of heaven, we knock on the doors of you, your heart, Lord. And we plead with you. We want you to bless us, Lord. We want you, Lord, to reveal what you have in your heart towards us, Lord. We want you, Lord, to give us strength, Lord, every day in the places that we minister to, Lord. We need you, God, in the workplaces, in the marketplace, in our families, in our homes, in the ministries that you have placed us in. We need you, God. We don't want to leave until you bless, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you stir our hearts. You open the hearts of each of us, God. Help us, Lord, to contend with you. Help us, Lord, to learn to trust and obey you. Help us, Lord, to see how gracious, how good you are. And through that, Lord, we want to give thanks. We want to be in reverence, in awe, and lead us to a place of worship and submission to you, God. Trusting that you are good, responding to your calling for our lives to obey you, Lord. So we commit everyone into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are. You know, Lord, what's happening, and we look to you, Lord Father. We thank you for all that you have provided, the vaccines, the care. We commit, Lord, the things we do not understand into your hands, Lord. But it is you, Lord, who guides and takes care of your people. And we pray, Lord Father, that you would help us in this time of need. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would show us the way forward, dear Lord, that you would grant us strength to overcome fear, that you would grant us wisdom, Lord, to do the right things in each of our given situations. We also pray, Lord Father, that you would help us, Lord, to face, Lord, how this has changed the way we do things. We pray especially for those whose work has been affected, Lord, by this endemic. We pray for school teachers, for those working in the offices, for students, and we pray, Lord Father, that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them, that you would guide them, Lord Father, that you would help all of us, Lord, to rise and put our trust, Lord, in you, Lord, and also that you grant all of us wisdom, Lord, to be able to provide leadership, Lord Father, where we are, wherever you have placed us, dear God. We also, Lord, again, want to rest in your constant love and protection. We pray, Lord Father, that it is you, Lord, that will keep us, that will protect us. It is you, Lord, who will be our healer and our strength, dear Lord. So, Father, we commit all this into your hands. We look to you, Lord. We pray that there will be a restoration of things, a restoration of families, of relationships, that people will be able to connect with each other without any fear, Lord, and there will be movements, Lord, Father, to see things go back to the way it should look, Father. So we look to you, Lord, Father, for all these requests and lean on your strength and your grace. Father, we thank you for how you've been with us. We want to thank you for Alex Santana. We want to thank you for protecting her and for the wonderful child you've blessed her with. We want to lift up Yealing and Paul into your hands, and we pray that your hand will be upon them as your child is coming soon. And we pray, Lord, for the procedures, for everything, Lord, that you would be with her, that you would bless the baby, and that you would comfort and strengthen this couple, Lord. Father, we also look to you, Lord, for every other thing, Lord, that we have in our hearts. You know, Lord, where we are. You know what we are going through. We know the burdens that we are bearing. And we pray, Lord, Father, that we will continue to press in as we have heard. And we will continue to believe, Lord, that you are a God who will provide breakthroughs, Lord, that your face will shine upon us, that your goodness will be upon our lives. So, Lord, we receive, Lord, Father, even now the blessings of your presence, of your spirit. We ask of you even to fill us now, Lord, and renew our hearts in faith and strength. We pray again, Lord, Father, for forgiveness, Lord, that you would remove, Lord, everything that stands in our way so that we may know you. And most of all, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your love, Lord, will be the light that penetrates our hearts, that we will grow each day, Lord, of the assurance of your great love for each one of us, dear God. And that love, Lord, will draw us, Lord, to one another, to treat each other, Lord, with dignity, with love, with respect. Bless your people, Lord, Father. We thank you that you are for all of us here tonight. Keep us, Lord, in your hands. Bless us throughout this week, Lord, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.